Hey, friend, old Steve here, and welcome back to the GFW. Hold on a second. Can I even call it GFW anymore? I don't know how long GFW is actually going to be a thing. Although Ed Nordholm seems to think that it's going to be a while. For you guys out there who haven't been paying attention, I know anybody who's watching this GFW Impact Wrestling Review, anybody out there who's watching this is probably going to know what's going on with it. Jeff Jarrett, it was announced that he is now suspended, gone. I don't know what it is, but apparently he still owns the letters GFW, so Impact Wrestling might have to rebrand, but they just launched a digital streaming network, kind of like the WWE Network, but it's only going to be $8 and you get all of TNA stuff, and they're going to do So I don't know what's going on. Until they rebrand again, I'm still going to be calling it GFW Impact Reviews, because that's what it is. Anyways, maybe Ed Nordholm thinks that he owns the GFW letters as well, just like he thinks he owns the Broken Hardy gimmick thing. Anyways, kind of an episode heavy on video packages, because they did the Triple Mania thing, and so they had a lot of home movies about Triple Mania, and of course they addressed the Sexy Star Rosemary incident, but that came later in the show. To kick off the show, Eli Drake was arriving with Chris Adonis. They always show people arriving at the beginning of Impact Wrestling. They always have to show people coming up through the warehouse doors at the back there. I did notice this when they did their opening video package thing, their opening credits, whatever you want to call them, whatever it is. There was no Jeff Jarrett. There was like several shots of Jeff Jarrett up until this past one. And this time it was like Jeff Cornette holding up the title, not Jeff Jarrett holding up two titles. I don't know if he was in there last week. I forget now, but I noticed that he definitely wasn't there. I mean, he was in the episode in the recap for Triple Mania, but beyond that, he wasn't. According to rumor, the match that was going to be set was going to be him, Jeff Jarrett versus Alberto Del El Patron, Alberto Del Rio. I think I got ants on me, but I don't. At the next paper, I think it's Bound for Glory. That's not going to happen now. But Alberto El Patron's supposed to be coming back. I noticed there was no Jeff Jarrett in that opening package. The episode kicked off with Caleb Conley, who also plays Suicide, and Trevor Lee in a match against Petey Williams and Sanjay Dutt. Caleb Conley is dressing like Trevor Lee, but he is not growing a beard, nor is he growing his hair all out crazy and wild. I love Trevor Lee. I've seen him twice live now at PWG. He gets heel heat based on the fact that he signed with Impact Wrestling. I love Trevor Lee. I think he's fantastic. In this case, Petey Williams, the creator of the Canadian Destroyer, and a lot of you people out there who have told me that he was a protege under Scott Steiner in kayfabe for a while. That's cool. He went over with his Canadian Destroyer. Actually, no, my bad. Sanjay Dutt went over with the win on Caleb Conley. But Petey Williams hit his Destroyer, and then that was followed immediately by Sanjay Dutt hitting his splash on Caleb Conley for the win. But I think at Bound for Glory, we're supposed to be getting Trevor Lee versus Sanjay Dutt. Some sort of gimmick match. I don't know. I don't know. A ladder match, maybe? Another ladder match? Maybe not. I don't know. Anyways, that's supposed to be happening, I think, at Bound for Glory. So hopefully Trevor Lee will finally become the rightful owner of the X Division Championship. Next up, LAX came out. That's always a pleasure. Let's see here. And this time it was Santana and Ortiz versus a couple of jobbers. This match was booked specifically so that OVE, the Crist Brothers, Ohio versus everyone or everything, depending on whoever says it, because Josh Matthews says everyone, the Crist Brothers say everything, or vice versa. In any event, OVE comes out. They watch LAX go over on Jobbers, and then they drop a promo saying they essentially want the titles. Conan calls them, says they look like meth heads, which it's kind of true, to be honest with you. And invites them to his crash promotion to take on LAX. So we're going to get OVE versus LAX at the crash. Maybe we'll get a video package of that at some point. I don't know. Anyways, you know, again, I like OVE. I just think that, number one, that one, I think it's, I forget which brother, which Chris brother. Not terribly good on the mic, but I feel, I mean, he's creepy enough that it can work. I just feel like the pack, like their clothes are just, they need to be more Sanity-ish. When I see those guys, I'm like, oh man, they'd fit in great with Sanity. Like, they, you know, Sammy Callahan apparently was supposed to be, when he was Solomon Crow, was supposed to be the leader of Sanity back in the day. And it, seeing him perform live at PWG with the Chris brothers months ago, I could see that. And I could see them, and they need something more, less indie wrestler and more like just cool and post-apocalyptic or something like that. They need to look like squatters, not indie wrestlers. Moving on, next up, we had a ladies tag match. Knockouts tag match. Featuring Taryn Terrell wearing a very skimpy lingerie-esque outfit, and Sienna versus Gail Kim and Allie. Allie came out with Braxton Sutter, who seems to be not being the abusive boyfriend he has been over the past couple months, weeks, whatever. And at no point, I figured at some point he would, you know, show that he was being creep boyfriend, but he didn't. He just ran off Cam, who of course came out with Sienna. At one point, Cam, before that happened, Cam tried to interfere with Allie. Braxton ran him off. Allie went for a cross body block, but Sienna was able to absorb it, get the roll up, and the win. Then Taryn Terrell and Sienna beat up on Allie. Gail Kim tried to help. She got beat up. Rosemary came out. She got beat up. No, I'm sorry. She started taking everybody down. This was obviously filmed before Triple Mania, but they had to walk this weird line between, like, you know, people being out there when Rosemary is in no condition right now to wrestle, from what we can tell. Like, because what's-her-face Sexy Star yanked her arm off. So she came out. This doesn't make any sense. I know the economics of GFW just isn't, you know, you got to allow for things like this. Anyways, Taya Valkyrie, I think it's Johnny Mundo's girl. She debuted. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. She's a wrestler in her own right. I'm trying to remember all these people and their relationships. she debuts. She looks great. She at first was sort of getting in the way of Taryn Terrell and Sienna from beating up Rosemary, but and then she turned on Rosemary. Heel turn out the gate. It was cool. She beat up Rosemary, said, but I'm not sure that ain't going to go anywhere, because, or maybe it will, because I think they taped a lot before Triple Mania. I don't know. Anyways, next up, Jim Cornette comes down, puts over Matt Sydal pretty big because he's got a title match against Eli Drake tonight, or for the main event of the show anyways. And he says, if I was a betting man, I'd say Matt Sydal's going to walk out with those titles. Good thing he isn't, because that wasn't going to happen. Johnny Impact comes down, a.k.a. Johnny Mundo. I think that's Taya Valkyrie's guy. See, goes both ways. And he says, I want the winner of that particular match. Whoever wins, I want that. Conan and LAX come down. Low-key looks legitimately pissed. Like, he starts yelling at Johnny Mundo, saying that, I've been here this whole time and you just got here and now you're demanding stuff. And he says, no, I don't, that's not good. And they bully their ways into getting Low-key a match against Johnny Impact next week to determine a number one contender for the winner of the match tonight between Eli Drake and Matt Sydal for the Global Force Championship champ belt title. So, yes, they booked Johnny Impact really strong here. He was like beating up everybody in LAX, but then Low-key was able to take the advantage. Low-key, when he was spitting at Johnny Mundo, he said, this is Impact Wrestling, biatch. And he said it with such conviction. I know a lot of you people out there in the comments are like, nah, screw Low-key. He hurts people for real and he burns bridges. That's fine. On screen, he has probably my favorite voice in all of wrestling. He's got like the best voice. It sounds like a movie narrator. And I think he's legitimately pissed that at this point that he's going to lose to Johnny Mundo. And I think he probably leaves after that. Moving on. Grado ends up breaking up very cold-heartedly with Laurel Van Ness because she's Canadian, and he was trying to use her citizenship as a means to stay in the country. But then last week, in pretty comedic fashion, it was revealed that she's actually a Canadian. So it ain't gonna work. And so he breaks up with her, and she teases that she's reverting back to her crazy Laurel, the hot mess Laurel Van Ness with the lipstick everywhere and stuff. So she might go back to that gimmick. I don't know. Anyway. And then, so here's the thing. I actually really like Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash as an announced team. I like them. I miss Pope. I thought he was funny too. Because these guys, they always have these little tiny like throwaway lines that crack me up. Like they do this like super dramatic edit with Laurel Van Ness like going through the mo, like, you know, smearing her lipstick everywhere and going crazy, and it's all crazy cuts and it's very dramatic, and then boom, cuts back to her in the impact zone, and JB says, well, that backfired, and Josh Matthews follows up with, no kidding. I mean, come on. It was funny. It's good. It's understatement. It's good. Next up, we had a very long Triple Mania package. It was like three packages in a row. One was focusing on the big, I forget what they call it. It's their big Royal Rumble match that Moose and Lashley were in, so they talk about them a little bit, talk about like Jeff Jarrett's in this. He's talking about his participation in it, thinks it's really great. Then they talk about Johnny Mundo's match, and they all put that over. And then they finally address the Rosemary Sexy Star thing, and they really downplay it. I mean, I understand that, you know, from what it sounds like Jeff Jarrett is sort of trying to keep these relationships afloat. And he's, you know, and that's a tough situation to be in, but they didn't really like, you know, lay into, although they did show backstage, and I think it was real. I think it was a shoot. Jeff Jarrett back there, like talking crap to people, and like, you know, LaPark is trying to hold him back, and Jeff Jarrett's like laying into, I don't know, somebody about it. Vampiro. I forget who. LaParca. I don't know. And so, because he looked pretty hot. I think that was all real. I don't know if it was just done for the video package. I don't know. But they talk about it, and he says, you know, our relationship now is stronger with AAA than ever. I don't know. I kind of feel like they should have thrown Sexy Star under the bus a little bit more. If all that stuff is real, it seems like it's real. Some people out there are saying, no, it's fake, it's a work, but who knows. Next up, we had a Desmond Xavier package. He, of course, won the Super X Cup. And he's very excited to be in GFW, and we got a whole video package about him. Next up, we had a Garza Jr. package. Again, this is like a ton, like, I swear it was like a good half hour to 45 minutes of packages. You got to space things out more. You had like, what, four segments or matches to kick things off, and then it's just like, okay, we're going to go ahead and into packages now. Next up we had the main event. Next up we had a Richard Justice interview where he was talking about getting beat up by Congo Kong last week, but he says that he's got to make sure that he's always ready to go because he's the standby wrestler. Last up we had the main event, Matt Sydal versus Eli Drake. They book Eli Drake pretty, I like how they book Eli Drake. They book him as a legitimate but willing to cheat to win. And I like that. Like, he kicked out of a lot of Matt Sydal's offense. And he got a lot of his own offense in. It was just at the end, Chris Adonis distracted the ref. Eli Drake hit Matt Sydal with the title over the head and then landed his finish. I think it's called the gravy train. Picked up the win over Matt Sydal. So I don't know. I liked how he's being booked. You know, I hope this is a situation where Eli Drake is being sort of rewarded for loyalty and sticking around and hard work, I guess, because I like him as champion. It's just I feel like they need a guy like Johnny Mundo to be their champion if they really want to, you know, make a name or, you know, sort of stand out, because he's a huge name. I mean, he's a big name. He's got like he's the AAA mega champion, whatever that is. So, I don't know. Anyways. Anyways, that's it for my GFW Impact review. Sorry this is late. After getting back from LA last week, I sort of took it easy. No, yeah, I got back on Monday. So, like, all last week we were playing catch up. And this weekend I just want to sort of, you know, relax a little bit. So I'm doing this on a Sunday night. You'll get it Monday morning. And I hope that's good enough for you guys. Hope you guys are enjoying my GFW Impact Wrestling reviews. A lot of interesting sort of pieces falling into place for GFW. We'll see how it all works out. I don't know, man. I mean, you know, as soon as you think this company is where it should be, it ends up not being where it should be. No good. Anyways, till next time, I'll talk to you guys later.